Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hello. Thank you, Seuss. I'm all right. Would you like to find a seat if you're able? Standing room only. We've got some spaces on some of the pews down the sides. Those of you who are at the back who don't want to stand up, there's always the classic front row seats spare. No? Now's your chance to get a seat if you'd like one. They're not reserved. Please come and find a seat so that you're comfortable. Spaces on the pews on the side. Well, morning, everyone. My name's Steph. I'm one of the pastors at Revelation Church. It is so great to be together this morning, isn't it? I've just found myself just deeply affected by being together under Christ. It's such an honor. I love meeting as Rev. I love the local church, but there's something uniquely special about gathering together as congregations and enjoying Him and praising Him. So we're going to read the Bible together. The words are going to come up on the screen. I'm going to ask if we can all read it out loud. We're going to read from the book of Acts in the Bible, chapter 2, the first 13 verses. So you can either turn there if you have a Bible with you, or you can look up on the screen here. And we're going to read those words together. Just to say, there are some long words in there because it goes through a little list of different countries people are from at some point. Just hang in there, mine, do what you've got to do. If you're a really good reader, go loud at that point, okay? And we'll get through together. So, okay, let's read together, shall we? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that as I speak it, as I proclaim it, as those who are here in this room hear it, pray that life would come. We pray, Lord, that clarity would come where there's been confusion. We pray, Lord, where there's been oppression, Lord, that freedom and liberty would come. We pray that your Spirit would be on these words in such power today to unlock lives and hearts in extraordinary ways. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. That was cool. I like that. Just going to ask some questions today about this passage, help you explain it so that you just actually get it if you're not that familiar with it, or even if you are, but just help you understand it. And then as we go through and I'm simply explaining it, I'm going to make some points that hopefully you will understand and see the relevance of for your life today. The first question I want to ask was, who were these people and why were they together? Who were they? And why were they together? Well, first thing to say is this: they were quite a random group. Have a look around. The church, by its nature, is kind of random. In fact, if you go along to a church and it isn't a little bit random, you should start asking some big questions. Because the church isn't a group of people who come together because they have anything really in common other than Jesus. Now, you may find people, and hopefully will find people in church where you do share things in common, but the one thing that brings us all together is Jesus. Amen? We're gathered under him. Only he is big enough to bring us and keep us together. Only he. There's many other philosophies and belief systems in the world, but the bottom line is that none of them have quite enough in them. The further you go into them, the more you realize this isn't working. This doesn't have the answer. Only he. The Bible says all the wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. There's no end to him. There's no end to Jesus. The Bible says that the fullness of deity dwells within him in bodily form. He's extraordinary. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is enough, and he has enough. And so he's pulled these people together. And the other thing to say is that they're a chosen people. Jesus said to them, you didn't choose me, I chose you. They're random, but they're selected. Jesus called them together to follow him. They loved him because he first loved them. They were following him because he called them by name. And so you see, the church may look random on the surface, but the deeper you go in, the more you realize this is a selected group of people that we've felt the call of Jesus Christ in our hearts and we've come to him. It's the wonder and the glory and the mystery of the church. There's this door that's been thrown wide open, which I'll talk about more in just a few minutes. But there's also this call, this draw, this we feel he's called us by name. We feel there was a day where we didn't get it, but now we do get it. Where to us one time it seemed like something for other people, and then that moment came where it seemed like something for me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit does. So they're kind of random, and yet they're selected, and it must always be this unity and diversity in the church. Never, ever, ever, if you're part of a church, start dressing the way other people dress, you know, unless the way you're dressing is really unhelpful, you know, maybe we've got to have a little chat. But, you know, in terms of like taste and style, it's a real tragedy when people start to just act and speak and have gestures and dress like other people. The whole point is that within the church there's one spirit, but that spirit is working in such a way as to express this glorious diversity. There's a diversity of age, there's a diversity of colour and race, there's a diversity of background and social standing and earning potential and education. There's this diversity, and yet we are gathered together by one spirit under Jesus. Amen? It's beautiful. It's incomparable. It's stunning. And so you always see this when there's a gathering of Jesus' people. But there's another reason why they're all together in one place. That's because Jesus said to them, wait. There's this famous phrase we call the Great Commission, where Jesus said to his disciples, go and make more disciples from every nation, but not yet. Wait until you are clothed with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. That's why they're all together in one place. There's a very important lesson there. Jesus is saying, I've got things for you to do, but you can't do it. It's the worst mistake to ever think you can be a Christian in your own power. It's heartbreaking when people say things to me like, I will come to Jesus, but just once I've sorted myself out on this and basically pulled myself up by my bootlaces, then I'll come to Jesus. Almost as if this whole thing is some kind of spiritual self-help. It's the last thing from that. It's the last thing from that. Jesus says, I know you can't do it. I know you can't love your enemies. I know you can't turn the other cheek. I know you can't forgive just like that. You need power from on high. You need the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows that. When will we just agree with him? When will we just say, Lord, you know what? You're right. I can't do it. Come to the end of ourselves and wait on him. So they're together. They're random, but they're selected and they're waiting. Next question. What on earth happened? What on earth happened? It wasn't just a gentle breeze that blew in. You couldn't have mistaken it for someone opened the window and a Mediterranean breeze blew in. It says the sound like a violent wind. In fact, it was so loud that people gathered from all across the city. It was actually fairly terrifying. God came in a way that they hadn't seen before. Jesus had been with them. But this was kind of it. It seemed connected to Jesus, but it was different. Let me just explain what happened here, just so you understand. What on earth happened? All throughout the part of the Bible before Jesus comes, you see this tension. God's desire to dwell with his people, and yet because of our fallenness, because none of us are what we ought to be, because none of us are what we were designed to be, because of our failings and our selfishness and our pride and all those things, God who is holy and God who is pure, God who is utterly spotless, can't dwell among us. And yet he loves us. And there's this tension all the way through. And there's this building promise that a day is coming when God will dwell among his people, but it won't have this tension about it and this strange kind of idea of distance about it. It will be close. It will be imminent. The prophets prophesied about it. And then Jesus came. And in Jesus, we see a prototype of a man designed without all of the mistakes, without all of the flaws, without all of the things that you and me carry in our hearts and are aware of, without the bitterness, without the impatience, without the hardness. I mean, he's just stunning. He's all that we could ever have asked for. He's courageous and yet he's compassionate. He's truthful but he's gracious. There's something immensely holy and exalted about him, and yet he's with the poorest of the poor. He's all we could ever have asked of. And so he's showing us what humanity, true humanity, was designed for. He's also showing us what God is like. He said, if anyone's seen me, they've seen the Father. In Jesus, it comes together, divinity, and perfect humanity, and it's stunning. And so he is this temple, he carries the presence of the Spirit in him perfectly. There's no tension, no distance. He walks in intimacy with God, and as a result, he heals the sick and he raises the dead and he does these extraordinary things. But you see, the thing is that not only that amazing life, this terrible death, and you think, well, what is this cross? What is it about? Why the cross? At the cross, the debt we owe, the death we deserve, the judgment that hangs over all of us, was sentenced in his body. At the cross, Jesus, the judge, becomes the judged. Jesus, the holy one, becomes the sinful one. Jesus takes into himself the complete debt of humanity. In fact, the Bible says all of God's holy law was nailed against the cross when Jesus was on there. And it was God's way of saying, my holy justice has been fulfilled. My wrath at the sin of mankind has been fulfilled in this moment now, in this man now. And that's why that curtain in the temple was torn in two. It was a way of saying there's no more division now. You can come as you are. There's no more tension, no more difficulty, no more how can I be in the presence of the holy God? Why? Because the price for our sins has been paid for. Hallelujah. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he opens up the way for us to be reconciled to the Father as a free gift. We can come as we are. And then Jesus, before he goes back to be with the Father, he says, it's better that I go because one is coming and he's just like me. He's just like me, but he can be not just with you like I am, but in you. And in this moment of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes, one just like Christ, and he rests on each of them and they're never the same again. The promise of God is being fulfilled that God will dwell among his people. And then just quickly, what do these symbols mean? What's going on with this symbolism? Why Pentecost? What was Pentecost? Well, you're probably familiar with terms like pentathlon, pentagon, five. So what's to do with five? Well, 5 or 50. The Jews had a festival and it was called the Feast of Weeks. And what would happen was, after the Passover, there would be 7 lots of 7, 7 weeks, which would make 49 days, where it would be the wheat harvest. On the 50th day, it would celebrate the harvest. And so they're waiting. Jesus has been ascended back to the Father for about just over a week by this point. And then the Spirit comes. And as a result of that, Peter preaches, and 3,000 people turn from their sins and come to Christ and put their trust in him. And it's the most extraordinary harvest. See, it's the celebration of the harvest. It's what's going on there. And since that point, it's been harvest time for the church. Many, many, innumerable multitudes have turned from their sin and put their faith in Christ and never been the same again since the way has been opened. Today's a day of harvest. Today's a day for you to come to Christ if you should so choose. Why the violent wind? Well, there's something about the violent... Anyone outdoors yesterday? Oh, my goodness. We nearly got in a bit of trouble in B&Q, me and my wife. It's like, what is going on here? I'm going to be falling on by some plants in the outside area. I mean, it's crazy. It's just a strong wind. Strong winds blow through you, don't they? They have a saying in them. I think it's in Norfolk. They call it a lazy wind. It's a lazy wind. The idea is that instead of going around you, it just cuts straight through you. It's lazy. It's going to get just cut straight through you. A violent wind will blow through you. You see, when the Spirit of God comes, he blows through your life, not for harm, but for extraordinary good. And things that you've wanted to shift for years, but you've not known how, he will shift. Darkness and heaviness and ugliness and unforgiveness and things you think, I can't shift it. Let the wind of the Spirit come through. Don't resist him. He comes for good, but he comes in power. He comes in power, but he comes for good. Trust him. Trust him. He will do this. Then we have the tongues of fire. Fire is always about purifying in the Bible. He comes to purify us. I remember when I was baptized, I think I'd become a Christian. When I was aged 18 in the August, in November. I got baptized. This is like 27 years ago now. And I remember saying, I felt this amazing cleansing going through me. There were so many things I'd done that I was so deeply ashamed of. Horrible things. Things, you know, you'd only tell your closest people in your life. Horrible, ugly. And I just felt him, just this cleansing as I'd received Christ and let the Spirit into my life. He purifies. It's truly, truly amazing. Truly, truly incredible. And then there's these languages, which were this sign and a wonder. Basically saying this thing's moving out from Jerusalem. It's going to the ends of the earth. Going to the ends of the earth. Final question. What was the impact? Well, this is fascinating. What was the impact? Some were amazed and perplexed. Some went, wow. I'm a bit troubled, but I want to know more. I'm a bit unsettled by this, but I'm going to stay around and listen. And I'm sure many of those were those who were saved and baptized that day. Interestingly, there were others who did not respond like that. Some people say, look, if God were to show up in the room, then I'd believe. Unfortunately, not true for everyone. The Holy Spirit is being poured out in the most extraordinary way here, and some people right in the thick of it go, oh no, they're drunk. They're drunk, they've had too much wine. They're not touched. They're not impacted. It's a fascinating situation. And I think there's a huge challenge for us here, because we've been in the presence of God today. For some of you, I was amazed, especially during communion, I was just deeply affected, just amazed by this, just the wonder, the glory of Christ. There's definitely times where Jesus makes me perplexed. Oh Lord, there must be an easier way. Oh Lord, why this route? Why tongues of fire? Why violent winds? Why speaking strange languages? Why? But I'm amazed enough to, I'm hooked. I've seen something. I want to urge you today, don't be an onlooker. Don't be one of the people looking on going, what's all this? When's the burgers ready? When's this bit over with? When's the madness over with so we can eat the burgers? Stop. Hold on. Maybe there's some food on offer here that will satisfy you up until later than 4 p.m. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger. That's a huge promise. That's a huge promise. I'm going to end by asking those of us here who would say that we are believers, firstly, I'm going to address brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who have said yes to Jesus, those of us who we've crossed the line, we're disciples. I want to remind you again, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, we cannot do this in our own power. We need to hear this daily. We are not those who are called to find some hero inside ourselves so that we might live amazing lives. That is not who we are, what we are called to. Hallelujah. The Bible describes that as going to cisterns, water, things that hold water that are cracked. You think, oh, there's nothing there. I am frequently dismayed at the lack of hero inside myself. Okay? But there is one whose fountain never runs dry. In whose right hand are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. He has given himself to us. He has given himself to us. Let us avail ourselves of him. Let us drink deeply. Let us eat well. Let us not scrimp and scrape under the table at the crumbs. We don't need to. We've been adopted. We're part of the family. Let us eat well. Find his power so that we might be fruitful. Amen. The Bible says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk. It just leads to stupidness. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It leads to true joy, true power. Come on. Let's be freshly filled. We'll have a chance to just drink deeply again in a moment. And finally, just to speak to those, you're either sitting here and you're saying, you're saying, no, I'm not a Christian. Or maybe you're saying, I'm not quite sure where I'm at. Or maybe you've been in church all your life, but you've never had that moment where you've said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Do you know what? I can urge you, and I do urge you, to trust in him. But no one can ever pressure another person to come to Christ. It's a work of God. It's a work of God. But I want to urge you to take this message seriously. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he deals with us on the level of the heart, on the deepest, deepest level, which is why on the deepest level, we must say yes to him if we're going to truly know him. And the Bible says, whoever calls on his name will be saved. And so if you call on the name of Jesus, he will rescue you, he will save you, he will make you brand new. And so I want to urge you, as we have a short time of response now before the burgers, call on the name of Jesus. He will meet you and you won't be the same again. Then it's a great idea to talk to someone you know here at the church or find one of the pastors. Absolutely. But don't start there. Start by calling on his name. Because then you know when he meets you, when he touches you and changes you, that your faith isn't based on some persuasive words of this person or some thing this person did, but you can know for the rest of your days, I called on his name and he came to me. And I've never been the same since. So I'm going to ask us to respond. Is that okay? I'm going to ask us all, can we stand? Is that okay? These poor guys have been standing at the back the whole time. Well done. Credit to you. Maybe one of the musicians could help me. Maybe the lady, could you help us with the guitar? Is that okay? Thank you. We're not going to have a... I think this will be one of those ones where we'll have a response together. And then if this works with how you do things, those who want to keep in this place can do. And then we can start the barbecue for others. I'm like, I'll let you sort it out, John. It's the beauty of being a guest speaker. You can just drop all the bombs and leave it with the host pastor to sort out. Let's just look to the Lord. Because there's an amazing thing in the Bible that says that there's only one mediator between man and God. And it's not the pastor. It's the man Jesus. It's the man Jesus. He mediates. He's come. He's made a way. Fully God, fully man. Can bring both parties together with such beauty and splendor and glory. We do honor you, Lord. We really do. We think that even when it's hard, we find ourselves saying that you're the best thing that's ever happened to us. Some of you have never called on his name for yourself in your own heart, and you just want to reach out to him and call on his name. I'm going to ask you where you are just to reach out your hands to him and just begin to say, Jesus, will you save me? Jesus, will you forgive me? Just reach out your hands to him. You think, well, that's a bit bold, isn't it? Oh, that's a bit bold. I'll tell you what, starting off boldly in the Christian life is the best start you can ever have. Jesus said, what I've whispered to you, proclaim from the rooftops. God is not doing something in a corner. He's doing something that's going to change the whole of creation through Jesus. He rose from the dead. He is alive. And so if that's you, you just know, yeah, today he's calling you. You know it. You know that you might feel I'm a bit random, but I'm being selected. I can feel his name in my heart. I want to ask you to just reach out your hands to him, just like I'm doing. Call on him. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Beautiful. Just let that name chip off your lips. Even if it's for the first time, you might have said his name blasphemously 100 times. This time you're saying Jesus and you love him. Let him hear you calling his name. He can see your hearts. He can see your hands. He's... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just, you know what? I'm just going to just wait a little moment. I just feel like there may be, there's no pressure, but I just feel by the Holy Spirit that there's one or two fellas, you're resisting and you're wrestling with the Lord and you really don't know why anymore. It could just be male pride is the only thing that's left. Just want to give opportunity. I just feel that in the Holy Spirit, there may be one or two guys, you know Jesus is calling you today. And it's time to say yes. I want to let you do that. Just reach out your hands to him. Start calling his name. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I got a sense as Steph was just praying for us then, there are some here who have slipped into just coming to church but have never actually said the yes. You know, you've been doing the church thing. You know the songs. You know how this thing goes. You show up at the right time, but you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never said that word in one moment to him. And again, if that's you, I just would love you just to raise your hand just where you're at. This is a moment in time where life changes. Where life changes. So just raise your hand. Join with the others with their hands. And all of us, those rest of us, just have our eyes closed just to honor the place here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's salvation in this place, salvation in this place, life changing right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I just also believe that there are Christian brothers and sisters who have had a tremendously difficult time and they need a rescue. They need salvation. And it's not just a one-off salvation. They need rescuing again. They need saving again. They need the mercy of Christ lifting them out of dark place, out of deep waters. I was so impressed with just repeating the blood of Christ over and over and over again. And it's the blood of Christ poured out for you over and over and over again. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. Lord God, start the rescue again. Oh, Father, Father.
So I'm just going to pray for those of you you want to respond. So again, with our eyes closed, those who want to just, I want to see your hands if this is for you today. And there's lots of you, I know. So thank you. If you need that rescue, if you've been through the rough time, then just raise your hand. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, then just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. So you might just want to repeat this prayer in your heart as you, as I pray it. I'll leave a space for you to pray it in the quietness of your own heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment in time. I thank you that you've called me by name. Thank you that I am yours. thank you for dying for me upon a cross, dealing with all my sin and junk and dying and putting that stuff to death. Thank you for rising again so that I might have life. And I am sorry for the things that have hurt you and others. And I say yes to you. Come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit, so life looks different from here on in. For those with their hands raised, Lord, I pray that you would fill them afresh now. Let's just lift up our hands together. Everyone, let's in this place expectantly just lift up our hands, and we're just going to pray for the Spirit of God. We welcome you in this place, Lord God. We welcome you here. This is your agenda, not ours. Come, Lord Jesus, and flood through this place that lives would be changed. We are expectant, Lord, for you. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to wait. We're just going to wait. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sense I get is that this is a moment of sending for some people this morning, that he is sending you out from here in a new way. And it might be into your workplaces, it might be overseas, might be into your families, but there's a sense in which he is filling you afresh for all that he's sending you into. He is the sending spirit. And if you get a sense, if that's for you this morning, just if you feel that sense that he is sending you, just would you just raise your hand? Just that sense that he's sent. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, fill these brothers and sisters, Lord, with your Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Lord. More of you. Thank you, Lord. Would you send them out, Lord Jesus? Equip them for all that you've called them to. Thank you, God. And in a moment, we're just going to step into worship. But before we do, just want to give the opportunity for anybody today, if you want to be filled afresh with the power of God, the Spirit of God, maybe for the first time. Again, it's the easiest way we can do this, but just maybe just raise your hand. And just if you want to be filled with the Spirit, we're here at Pentecost. Why not, eh? Why not? If you want to be filled afresh with the Spirit of God, just raise your hand. And those of you with your hands raised, those of you, if you see a hand raised near you, just place your hand on the shoulders of the person near you. You don't need to know their name. God does. But just look around you. Those of you who don't have your hands raised, that's fine too, because some of you are going to be doing the praying and some of you are going to be prayed for. And just pray that the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Just make sure everyone who's got their hands raised has got someone praying for them. Let's just stand with these men and women. I don't want to see anyone who hasn't got their hand raised. Just if you see people around, great. And what you're doing is you're praying, is you're just simply praying that they receive the Spirit of God to refresh, to cleanse, to breathe through, to set a new agenda, whatever that might be. Let's just pray for them together. Let's just lift them up. This is great. This is what the church does. So just lift them up to God and pray they just receive the power. You don't need to fill it with words. That's it. Let's just keep praying for one another. If you haven't got anyone praying for you, just wave at me so that I can direct people your way. Great. Someone here, just to my right, your left, to the front here. So if anybody on that side could help pray, that'd be great. Thanks, B. Amazing. This is great. There's a handful here. This is good. Just see what the Holy Spirit is doing. You might, those of you praying, might want to pray with your eyes open. It's not more spiritual to have your eyes closed. Just pray with your eyes open and just see what the Lord might be doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to gently worship in a moment, but don't let that break off the prayers. Just let's keep praying for one another. Let's just keep praying. And those of you receiving, keep receiving as long as you want. Drink deep, as Steph said. But we're going to continue in an attitude of worship. If you want to join in, then do. If you don't, then feel free not to. But we're going to keep this attitude of prayer and worship together.